jobless and struggling to make ends meet. Or maybe something else happened and the income that you were hoping for didn't materialize. Perhaps things were so tight you were wondering where the Lord was in all this. Doesn't the biblical doctrine of God's providence teach us that He has His hand in everything? Somehow you got through it, didn't you? After all, here you are, worshiping Him together with His people. The Lord provided for you. Or if you are encountering hardships now, do you see how the Lord is still taking care of you? A humbling experience can also be a teaching experience. Verse 3 of our text points in that direction when Moses recalls for the people of God what they went through in the wilderness. There, the Lord taught them to see His hand in what happened. We read, "And He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna." People like to think they're self-sufficient when they have lots of money in the bank. And God's people learned that without the Lord providing for them, they would not get very far. Even with gold and jewelry taken from Egypt, what could they buy in the wilderness? Do you have money in the bank or in various investments? You won't be able to continue your day-to-day existence without the continuing blessings of the Lord. And keep that in mind this morning as we ask our God for His blessings on crops and labor in this worship service. Moses spoke the words of our text at an important moment in the history of God's people. Imagine the situation. They're standing at the border of the promised land. For 40 years, they've had to live as nomads in the wilderness. For 40 years, they've had to look forward to entering this country. An older generation has been buried. A new generation has been born. And they're now ready to begin a new phase in their lives. And there's been no opportunity to plant crops and harvest in the wilderness. The ground hasn't been cultivated. They haven't been able to look forward to the fruit of the earth. But that will change. There will be a time of abundant harvests. After all, the land they will enter is a good land. Now the Lord gives His people important instructions to prepare them for their future. And this episode in the history of God's people is recorded in Scripture for us. Together with the Israelites in the days of Moses, we are members of the church of all ages. And the message from the Word of our God is as follows. Depend on the Lord for your daily needs. And this is an ancient lesson and also a relevant lesson. Depend on the Lord for your daily needs. This is an ancient lesson and also a relevant lesson. By the time of our text, God's people were already in the fertile pastures of the plains of Moab, east of the Jordan River. The Lord had freed them from slavery in Egypt. But they still had to learn what it means to live in the covenant with Him. And this includes learning to depend on the Lord from day to day. The time in the wilderness was still fresh in their memory. Should they forget that time as soon as possible? Should it be erased from memory as an unpleasant episode in their lives? No. Through Moses, the Lord makes it clear that they need to remember the lesson of that period. And this will help them to serve the Lord with thankfulness in the new land. What the Lord has taught them should be passed on from generation to generation. The Lord didn't free his people from bondage in Egypt and then leave them to their own devices. Then they would become victims of another sort of slavery. They would become slaves of all kinds of sins in the promised land. Life can't blossom where sin reigns supreme. The dominion of sin suffocates human life. Even though people might boast of being free, without God's laws, they end up in bondage. And we see that around us, people living as slaves. Some work long hours pursuing more and more money. Others squander their money in search of more and bigger thrills. They are pleasure seekers, but what they seek is elusive and only gives momentary satisfaction. Some are addicted to alcohol or other drugs. There's addiction to pornography. Such lifestyles lead to disillusionment, boredom, frustration, and depression. People ruin their own lives and the lives of others. Worse yet, they face the judgment of God for seeking themselves instead of Him. And if you read the book of Deuteronomy, you will see that Moses is unfolding the meaning of God's law. He is teaching his people how to live as truly free people. Life in the covenant needs to have a certain structure. We need to learn what is truly important from day to day. And some lessons need to be heard more than once to hit home. Repetition is the mother of learning. The book of Deuteronomy refers to God's law as the whole commandment and the statutes and the rules. And there are various sorts of laws, but the Ten Commandments form the heart. We encounter them in Deuteronomy 5. They summarize God's will for the life of his people. And the chapters after that, right up to Deuteronomy 25, verse 16, elaborate on those commandments. Our text is part of a section extending from chapters 6 to 11. And these chapters are about observing the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." In chapter 6, the verses 4 to 5, Moses emphasizes this commandment in a positive way. He presents the Israelites and their children with a very central message. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And following that fundamental confession comes the command, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." There will be many temptations in the promised land. And that's why chapter 7 contains explicit instructions how to deal with the inhabitants of the land. The Lord will use the Israelites to punish those people for their idolatry and sinful lifestyle. Under no circumstances must they ally themselves with those people by marriage. They must destroy their altars and all their idols. If they don't do this, the temptation to worship other gods will be very great, and that would be a violation of the first commandment. And there are other ways to sin against the first commandment besides idol worship. Riches and prosperity can also form a threat to a healthy spiritual life. And that's what chapter 8 is all about. Living in the promised land can be a temptation in itself. It'll be much easier than living in the wilderness. There will be an abundance of crops. But with this abundance comes the danger of no longer trusting in the Lord alone. And then with every harvest, you harvest honor for yourself instead of honoring Him. You ascribe an increase in prosperity to your own efforts instead of thanking the Lord for giving you strength. And the promised land is a beautiful country. Deuteronomy 8 describes it in detail. The Lord is bringing them into a good land, a land of brooks and water, brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills. It's not an arid country. There's enough water for growing all kinds of crops. Moses points out what kind of things can be harvested. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey. And the rich crops won't be the only source of wealth for God's people. Moses also points out that it's a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Humanly speaking, the Israelites had quite a future to look forward to. And given such a future, would it be time to forget about the difficult past? Not at all. Moses wants God's people to remember their experiences in the wilderness. Humanly speaking, there were insurmountable difficulties, but the Lord provided for them. He taught them to trust in Him, relying on His promises and looking to Him for guidance. And there are perhaps parallels with what the immigrants among us can tell us about how hard life was during the first years in Canada decades ago. They had to live day by day and work hard. There were so many things to build up. Gradually, things improved. Churches were built and Christian schools were established. The theological seminary was started. Personal wealth began to accumulate in many homes. Some of you might now be tempted to take material prosperity for granted. Your circumstances were perhaps only a dream for you, your parents, or your grandparents years ago. Let's say you've worked hard and been blessed with good results. Looking back, you feel some inner satisfaction. At the same time, there might be that little voice. Not bad at all, even if I say so myself. It's not wrong to feel good about a job done well. But have you been doing it well to serve God and praise Him? Or are you congratulating yourself and perhaps looking for praise from others? And to keep us humble, the Lord reminds us to consider His providential help in the past. He has impressed upon His people in the wilderness how much they needed that help. For 40 years, He has been giving them a lesson in humility. Will they pass the exam of prosperity once they are settled in the promised land? Before the exam starts, we hear Moses giving his people a final pep talk. He doesn't want them to fail. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. And remember means more than just don't forget. Remembering should have a lasting impact on their daily lives. And what the Lord is saying here amounts to this. For 40 years, you have had to live day by day. You had to trust in the Lord for your daily food. Remember that lifestyle. Let the lesson of the past teach you how to live in the covenant in a time of prosperity. Continue to depend on the Lord and live for Him from day to day. God's people went through a lot in the wilderness. Wandering about for 40 years was no picnic for such a large group of people. Life was hard and even dangerous, Moses reminds him of what it was like. He speaks of the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. That's where the Lord humbled his people. He taught them how limited human capacities are. They suffered from hunger. They knew that they couldn't conjure food out of the wilderness sand. It made them rebellious. In Psalm 78, we read in verse 19 how God's people even doubted his ability to help. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" It may seem strange to hear that the Lord humbles his people, but don't think of this in a negative way. He wasn't being cruel to them. Moses reminds the people of this by speaking of the Lord as the Lord, your God. The Lord wasn't dealing with them in an arbitrary way. He was at work as the God of the covenant, the God who had established a relationship with his people. Covenant means bond, relationship. And he did this as a God of grace. And remember his words in Deuteronomy 5, verse 6. "I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He set them free. He led them through the desert to the promised land." And during that journey, he confronted them with the limits of their own abilities. They were hungry and unable to feed them, to help themselves. It was a humbling experience, but it taught them to rely on God. He showed them his power, and the continuation of their lives depended on his goodness. And the manna he gave them was a daily reminder of this. That manna was a demonstration of God's ability to feed them. It was like bread, but unlike anything their ancestors had seen before. And Moses mentions this in our text to emphasize how unusual this gift was. People have tried to look for a natural explanation for what happened. There's a theory, for example, that manna is a product of the tamarisk tree, a small tree or shrub. According to the theory, manna is the result of a transparent moisture coming from the tamarisk. It hardens and is supposed to be edible. Now, this theory does not parallel what Scripture says about how often and how much manna could be found. It comes nowhere close to explaining how so many people could eat manna for years and live. The Israelites knew of the tamarisk, but they had no natural explanation for the manna. When they saw it for the first time, they could only wonder and say, "What is it?" Moses explained to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." All the connecting links in the food chain had been taken away. There was no field to cultivate, nowhere to sow and harvest. They couldn't buy their food anywhere. Their daily sustenance was reduced to their basic needs. They had to depend on the goodness of the Lord from day to day. And those 40 years in the wilderness were a lesson and a test at the same time. Our text says that the Lord was testing them to know what was in their heart. That means he wanted the contents of their heart to become visible. In times of stress, a person's deepest needs come to the surface. How are you dealing with the difficulties that come your way? Are you living by faith? Are you trusting in the Lord from day to day? The people of God repeatedly showed impatience and a lack of faith. And opposite that stood the continuing faithfulness of the Lord. He gave them manna again and again. It was simple food, but it was enough. This daily gift was a summons to faith and obedience. Would they honor him once they entered the promised land by living according to his law or not? Depend on the Lord for your daily needs. This is an ancient lesson. It's also relevant for us. And this is our second point. God's people had to apply the lesson they learned in the past. They were dependent upon God. And now Moses was telling them, keep thinking in such terms. If you live like that, you live as a humble person. That was the purpose of this history. That was why the Lord humbled you. Remembering the past is not just a pastime. It's a command, a task. Remember the work of the Lord in the life of God's people. Remember his work in your own life. If you don't, you're well on your way to becoming an unthankful individual. Unthankful people don't honor God. They ascribe prosperity to themselves, or at least to use their wealth for themselves. And that lifestyle leads to God's judgment. The application of the lesson of the past is you are always dependent on the Lord. And this is true whether you're poor or rich. Ultimately, you don't live because of bread. As our text puts it, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Did you notice the repetition of the word man? The Hebrew term here is Adam. The first time we encounter that is in Genesis 1, verse 26, where we read about the creation of the first human being. God once created man, and man remains dependent upon his power as creator and as the Lord, the faithful God of the covenant. That's what Moses is saying in our text. Israel's lesson in the wilderness is also meant for us in our circumstances of life. We all live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. What does that mean? Does it mean that next to our daily bread, we need spiritual bread? We do need spiritual food, but that's not the point here. The point here is that there's a link between our daily bread and the Lord speaking. For years, the Lord showed his people that he only has to speak, and they have manna. That's how powerful his word is. The Lord provides for our needs. He may do that through our daily work or in an unusual way. And whatever the case may be, remember that your life does not depend on mere food. Our daily bread is the result of the Lord speaking. His word is the source of our spiritual nourishment. It also forms the foundation for our daily bread. In short, Our entire existence depends on the word of the Lord. And this lesson gives us the right perspective on the process of sowing and harvesting. Don't focus exclusively on the daily bread you receive, as if your life depends on that alone. Then you might become a slave of that bread. Everything you do might be geared to that instead of to serving the Lord. If you become prosperous, don't let that blind you to reality either. Making a wealth of material possessions the measure of your happiness is idolatry. Pray for the blessings of the Lord on crops and labor. When He hears our petitions, praise Him for His grace. God has become our Father, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, His Son. And take delight in seeing how He cares for us from day to day. Our lives don't ultimately depend on bread. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, our covenant God. And trusting that this is so sets us free from so many worries. It sets us free to focus on serving Him. The Lord will continue to provide for us as long as He has a task for us in this life. And believe this, even if financial hardships arise. Our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated this faith in God in the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Hunger assailed Him. In those circumstances, the devil came to tempt Him. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. That was an attempt to get Jesus Christ to misuse His position as the Son of God. The devil was tempting Him to rely on Himself instead of on His Heavenly Father for His bread. Jesus could use His divine power to do a miracle if He wanted to, but His mission as the Son of Man was to demonstrate perfect trust in God. He had to depend on God also for His daily bread. Getting bread outside the will of the Lord would be a denial of dependence upon Him. Our life doesn't depend on bread alone. It depends on the Word of God. So, Jesus quoted the words of our text, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And that Old Testament lesson was meant first for life in the Promised Land. But Jesus reminds us that it applies no matter where we are. Our Savior was tested in the wilderness where His people repeatedly disobeyed God. He acknowledged God all the time as the source of all good gifts, including daily bread. And Jesus Christ remained faithful to all of God's word. That's why He died on the cross. He had to atone for our sins and obtain life for us, eternal life in fellowship with God. We don't live by bread alone. We live because of God's word. And that word is full of grace. It gives us reason to pray for God's blessings on crops and labor with expectant hearts. And there may be difficulties lying ahead, but the Lord can also bless us through them. Count your blessings, whatever they may be, and show the Lord your thankfulness. Give generously from your abundance if He blesses you abundantly. Depend on the Lord for your daily needs. Live by every word that comes from His mouth. That's the way of eternal life, beloved. The Lord is the source of our lives, and He promises to take care of us forever. Amen. Let's sing in response Psalm 100, the stanzas 2 and 4.